Pakistan women's cricket has taken a heck of a journey. Back in 1997, there were feuding boards for women's cricket in the country, and it was actually an Australian in Jodie Davis who was recruited to coach the team to their first World Cup, and she's with me on Summer Grandstand. Welcome, Jodie.
Thanks, Ben. Nice to be here.
No, it's great to have you with us. How on earth did it come to pass that you were the women's coach for the Pakistan cricket team?
Yeah, Ben, it was a bit of an adventure. So the Pakistan women's team made a foray out to Australia and New Zealand on a tour to qualify themselves for the World Cup in India. They were told they had to play a couple of internationals. And they came out to Australia and New Zealand in early 97, and they came to Canberra. And we played them in an ACT match, which was probably just a passing thing. I saw them play. I think we beat them pretty well. About a month or 2 months after that, I got a call from Sue Crowe at what was Women's Cricket Australia then, and she sort of said, "Hey Jodie," I was at work, picked up the phone. She said, "Hey Jodie, the Pakistan team's looking for a coach for the World Cup. You know, is that something you'd be interested in?" And yeah, I'm not an overly spontaneous person, but I found myself saying yes, and I put the phone down and thought, "Oh, what have I done? You know, I've got a job, a mortgage, a life, and I've just committed to going overseas and coaching." But I think, you know, it was such an out of the left field opportunity that there was a part of my brain that said, "Go for it."
So no contract, no need for details or anything like that, Jodie?
No paperwork at all, Ben. Just the handshake and the okay, what do I do now? And it wasn't long before the Pakistan team and Shahzad Khan, the captain, managed to get my phone number, and we were off from there.
So how did it play out from that initial verbal agreement, nothing in writing as yet, to you finally working with the team?
Yeah, so Sue sort of said, "Great," you know, and then next thing I know, I was, as I said, getting calls and faxes from Pakistan saying, "When are you coming? We're expecting you this week," and this is May. World Cup is in December, and you know, I've just found out about this sort of life-changing commitment. So, we kind of had a chat about it. She was saying, come now, and I'm saying, "Look, I can't, you know, I've got things on." So I put together a day-by-day program, just about a three-month preparation program, you know, day-by-day, week-by-week, with plastic cards and all sorts of things, and sent it over to her a couple of weeks later for them to get started. And we agreed I would come over as soon as I could, which was sort of closer to October, to come over. But no, there was very little other than some arrangements for flights, and I hoped somebody was going to meet me at the other end. but it was all in good faith.
So when did you actually get there, and what did you encounter when you finally arrived in Pakistan?
Yeah, well, I went fairly heavily laden, Ben. I'm Cricket Australia and Women's Cricket had provided, you know, bits and pieces and equipment to take over, which was fantastic because I didn't think they'd have much. So I had these huge bags which I had to drag with me to the airport and through Thailand on a stopover. And I got on the plane to Lahore, and I guess that was my first indication of what was to come, because I was the only female on the plane and I was pretty openly stared at the whole sort of, you know, several-hour flight over. When I sort of touched down in Lahore, which is not a huge airport, I think half of it was sort of demolished and it looked like it was under construction and it was sort of all outside. I sort of had the realization that I really hoped somebody was there to pick me up, because I had no contact phone numbers, no directions, and here I was. So luckily the girls were there, and they sort of bundled me and all the gear off, and we headed off to our first training session straight from the airport. So that was pretty much an indication of how it was to work. None of this sort of you know, overly well planned approach. It was pretty much take it as it comes.
We'll get to the cricket. Jodie Davis, the former Pakistan women's head coach, their first women's head coach, chatting to me here on Summer Grandstand. You alluded to it, the cultural challenges. I mean, on the plane, being stared at. What were the cultural challenges when you arrived in Pakistan?
Yeah, so I guess Pakistan's not a country that you normally know a lot about, and I tried to do a bit of research on it, but I guess, you know, it doesn't paint the whole picture. So what you found is it's somewhat like India. Obviously, you know, dry climate and a lot of people. The male population outnumbers the female population, so you have a lot of males visually everywhere, and the females and young girls are not allowed out. They're not allowed to work. They're not allowed to drive. When I was there, and they can't go out alone. So basically, you sort of come into this country that you feel is quite oppressive for a woman. There's sort of men everywhere, and as I said, I got picked up, and we headed off to an army barracks, which is where we trained. So we weren't overly well thought of, and I wasn't overly well thought of as somebody coming over to instigate this rebellion against the culture. And so, we had death threats, and we had to train under guards, and we had to sort of train out the back of a park behind bushes so that we wouldn't be seen. But culturally too, I guess the language, I was lucky that there was about four or five of them that knew how to speak English, and that was great. And then the rest of my team, which I found out when I got there, I was picking on my first day. Unbeknownst to me, they hadn't been training. And and when I turned up, they kind of said, we're going to trials, to pick the rest of the team, including a wicketkeeper. But they're huge sort of cultural around just the foundation of the team. But then the girls themselves, in Pakistan, they don't play. You girls don't go out and play in the yards. They don't go out and play outside. They have no body awareness, body movement. So it's like getting sort of young adults that are like, a 4 and 5 year old still exploring their body. They really didn't know how to run. They didn't know how to change direction. They kept telling me they were dying when they got breathless. Because they just simply hadn't been able to do any sort of physical activity in the lead up to, becoming the national cricket side.
So how on earth do you go from that to picking a squad and trying to get the team ready for a World Cup? Because to me, that sounds like a coach's nightmare.
It is, Ben, and I think at this point I was only that I was so far from home and I probably didn't have a choice to keep going. But it was a case of sort of doing what I could. So I was obviously stuck there. We had to get a representation. We were never going to be. I'd left and I'd been involved here with the Australian preparation. My housemate Bronwyn Cowell was playing for Australia at the time. I was coaching, and so I knew how broad the chasm was between these girls who were they're not even athletes. They're not even athletic, and I've got to sort of teach them how to be a cricket team, a national cricket team in 6 weeks. So it was more about, I guess, my aim was to try to get them to behave like a team and try and learn a bit. I knew we'd been in field for a long time. I can't teach somebody how to bat. I did have to make a wicketkeeper, which was interesting. The five or six Western girls, and I call them Western girls, they were the players who had brought me over, that Shiza and her sister Charmaine, and a number of others, about three or four others, who had spent their summers in England. They spoke English and they played cricket, probably to a sort of a solid club level. And they were the nucleus of my team. And then the newbies were the ones I picked who had played no sport and no cricket. I had to make a wicketkeeper out of the remaining girls. It was about trying to get them to understand fielding. We concentrated a lot in fielding, worked with the six Westerners on their skills, and the rest we just tried to make into sort of a wicketkeeper and some fielders, holding the bat. They'd all have to bat. So it was a real drop down, and it was about trying to bring them together as a bit of a team, with some, being able to look like a team and act like a team and warm up like a team, but probably once on the field, their skills were going to be, uncovered at that point. So I thought that's about all we can do, given the situation of playing, these fantastic athletes from these other teams, but not just athletes, but, prepared athletes who understand and have faced millions of balls. And these girls played, about half my team played their first game of cricket at the first game of the World Cup.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty incredible. I mean, there was a great quote, I think, possibly at the opening ceremony of the World Cup, in which someone made the point that Pakistan had already won just by being at this World Cup, which you certainly did. What are your recollections of the actual tournament play then?
The tournament was fantastic. I guess this was the first World Cup that they left open. The World Cups now are the top, X number of teams, and then a number. I think they keep two places for qualifications, and they run the lower countries, the newer countries, through a qualification to get the two strongest to come up. So this was a bigger field. I think it was like 12 teams. So it was a big tournament, two pools of six. We're unfortunately in the Australian pool with Australia and England, Denmark and Ireland and South Africa. So we had it cut out for us. But the tournament itself was fantastic. So, you know, 26 days and like, you know, 18, 20 flights in that time around. You know, the cricket I heard was pretty good on some of the other games. Our games were a little one-sided. We tried to sort of bat first so that we could get some experience of being in the field and, you know, make the games a bit longer. But yeah, you know, my girls weren't overly prepared sort of resilience-wise, so I did end up with lots of sore muscles and injuries sort of as we progressed. But as far as the cricket goes, yeah, we put on a great showing against England. I think that was probably the pinnacle. We played England, and they were the defending champions. They came into that tournament looking to win the World Cup, you know, back-to-back. They came up against us and obviously had heard how we're going, so they didn't have high hopes. And apparently they ordered the bus to come pick them up at lunchtime because they said this should be over by lunchtime. So our aim became, you know, let's keep the bus waiting. So we fielded first. Two of them scored 100 against us, and they had, you know, scored a heap of runs. I had to get on the field because I ran out of players. So so I got on the field for a while, and we went out. We faced all 50 overs. We made our first score over 100. We only lost a couple of wickets, and you know, we hit one of the English opening bowlers for a couple of sixes. So that was probably the pinnacle for us. You know, that was well above my expectations to sort of do that. So unfortunately, you know, after that we fell away a bit and couldn't put up much resistance against the other teams. But yeah, so I guess even to get that on the board in some of the, in you know, your second and third games of cricket for some of these girls was something to take back. And unfortunately, I think it gave the captain a bit of encouragement, and she'd been touting that we were going to win several matches. So I was a little worried as a coach about that. But I figured, you know, my tenure, you know, probably wasn't going to last much past the World Cup, so I might as well just jump on board.
It's a great story, and look, here we are, 25 years on after that first Pakistani women's cricket team went to the World Cup. And we've got a bilateral series against the all-conquering and dominant Australian women, who you're obviously someone who blazed the trail for this current Australian women's team as well as this Pakistani women's team. So it must fill you with great pride. Jody, appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on and having a chat to us and telling us your story here on Summer Grandstand.
Thanks, Ben.